Etios, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, 6-3. This is factually the longest Mishnah in all of Shas, 319 words. So it's going to give us plenty to work with. The topic here has to do with the status of a portion of an Eiver Min HaChai. So that is, everyone agrees that a limb that's been amputated from a living person, if it has a complete bone, as well as the flesh around that bone, which would be enough flesh that it would be able to survive and even like heal, even if something's missing on a living person, and that flesh is attached by the with the tendons. So that is a source of Toma that conveys even, not just by Mag and Mas, but even by Ohel, being in the same room as if it were a mace. The question is, how similar is it to a mace, to a corpse? So we have a three machlokas here regarding what happens if you separate meat or bone from the Eiver Min HaChai, the amputated leg, let's call it. Okay, so we'll have three opinions. The Mishnah says inside, I'll start it, then I'll summarize halfway through. We say, Kazayas Basar HaPoresh Min Eiver Min HaChai. If you separate a olive's worth of flesh from a amputated limb, like a leg, so if it were a corpse, so then a kazayas still conveys tumah. The question is, what happens if it's the person's alive, or it could be dead, doesn't matter. When this limb was separated, the person was still alive. So Rabbi Eliezer Matama, Rabbi Eliezer says it's basically the same as a corpse, and it's a source of tumah. But Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Nechunya Matarin, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Nechunya, these are the three from the previous mission as well, say no, once its flesh is separated from the aver, from the amputated limb, it no longer conveys tumah at all. Okay, and now etzem, what about a bone fragment that's separated from this amputated limb? If it's an etzem kasaora, even if it's a barley corn's size of bone fragment, which if it were separated from a corpse, indeed would be a source of tumah by Mag and Masa, haporesh me'ever min achai, if it's separated from a limb which was amputated from a living person, Reb Nechunya metam, Reb Nechunya says that bone fragment is tameh, not by ohel, but at least Mag and Masa. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Matar, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua say, no, bone fragments separated from amputated limbs do not convey tumah at all. Which means you have three shitas going on so far. Let me sum them up for you. You have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that even the flesh separated from the limb is tameh, but not the bone. You have Rabbi Nechunya, who says the bone separated from the flesh is tameh. The bone separated from the limb is tameh, but not the flesh. And then you have Rabbi Yeshua, who says, no, an aver min achai has to be an aver min achai. If you've separated flesh or bone from the aver, it no longer is special status, and it's tahor, that meat or bone is tahor. Okay, so now we're going to discuss it. First, amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer. The first is the kashya of Rabbi Eliezer regarding why he says the meat is tameh, whereas the bone is not. So why do you say that the meat is tameh in the first place? Amar lehem, he said, matzino eiver min achai kameh shalem, because he says the eiver min achai is really equated to a regular corpse, and mahameis kazais basar porish meno tameh, just as when it comes to a corpse, if you separate out an olive's amount of flesh from the corpse, it's a source of tumah. Af eiver min achai kazais basar porish meno yetameh. So too, if you separate an olive's amount of flesh from a corpse, from a limb of a person that's been amputated, that's also a source of tumah. Amru lo. But the other rabbis, meaning Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Nechunya, say no, that doesn't add up. Because, let me say it outside first, because you're differentiating between bone and flesh, which isn't the differentiation which exists if a limb were really the same as a corpse, because both bone and flesh are tameh there. So therefore, the fact that you're saying the bone isn't tameh tells us you're not really equating it to a corpse, and therefore they have no reason to say that the flesh should be tameh either. That's the gist of it. It says, im. If you would say, im tim esa kazais basar porish min ames, if you would say, listen, when it comes to an olive's amount of flesh that comes from a corpse, you say that's tameh, shekain, it would also follow logically that tim esa etzim kasaora haporish memenu. Same would go, as you do in fact say, that the bone that separates from the corpse is also tameh. Okay, that's cool. But to tameh kazais basar haporish me'ever min achai, but wait a second. Would you say that an olive's amount of flesh that separates from the amputated limb of a living person should be tameh? Well, it doesn't add up. Shekein taharta etzem kasora parshemenu, because you said that a bone fragment the size of a barley corn is tahor. So obviously you do not hold that it's like a corpse. Now he doesn't respond back yet. Okay, now we're going to turn our attention to the opinion of Rabbi Nechonya, and it's really the exact same discussion, except he was saying it was the bone that is tameh instead of the flesh. So Amru lo l'Rabbi Nechonya, they said Rabbi Nechonya, Mar isa l'tameh etzim kasar ha-parish me'ever menachai. Why do you say that a bone fragment from an amputated limb is tameh? Amar lahem, Rabbi Nechonya says to them, Matzino ever menachai kameh shalom. He says, because a corpse, a limb that's amputated has the same status as a corpse. Maha meis, just when it comes to a corpse, etzem kasara parish emeno tameh. If you separate a bone fragment from a corpse, even the size of a barley corn, it's tameh. Af ever menachai, etzem kasara parish emeno hi tameh. So too, the bone fragment that comes from a limb amputated from a living person should be a source of tumah. And again, they're going to object to him and say, Amru lo lo. They're going to say, no, doesn't add up. For the exact same reason. If you're equating the amputated limb to a corpse, there's no reason why you should differentiate between bones and flesh. And yet you're saying the bone is tummy, but the flesh is not. So it's not adding up. That's what it's outside. Inside, again, im, it would make sense if you would say, Tim Esa etzim kasa'or ha-parsh min a mace. We understand. You're saying that a bone fragment that comes from a mace is tamei, and shekain, because it's equivalent to Tim Esa kazayas ha-basar parsh minu. It's the same as the kazayas of flesh, which comes from the corpse. Okay, they're on equal footing. But if that's true, so why differentiating when it comes to the amputated limb if you say that it's the same din as a corpse? Tim titame etzim kasa'or ha-parsh be'evar min a-chai. So you're going to say that the bone fragment that comes from the amputated limb is tamei shekain, but wait a second, that doesn't add up, because tiharta kazayas basar parish memenu, you said that all the amount of flesh that comes from the amputated limb is tahor, so it doesn't add up. And again, Rabbi Nechonya now doesn't respond. So now we're going to go back to Rabbi Eliezer and ask the obvious question, why he's differentiating between flesh and bone. Amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer, mara isa l'achalok midosecha. They say, Rabbi Eliezer, why did you see fit to differentiate how you apply the halachas of bone and flesh when they come from an amputated limb? So he's going to give us o tame b'shneim, o tar m'shneim. Either you should make them both bone and flesh tame, or make the bone and flesh both tahor that come from the amputated limb. So he's going to give two reasons why he holds that flesh is a kind of, I'll call it, worse than bone, therefore the flesh from an amputated limb should be tummy even if the bone isn't. Amar lahem, he said to them, first of all, maruba tumas habasar metumas atzamos. First of all, you see that flesh is more potent as a source of tuma than bone. Shehabasar noheg benevelas v'sharatzim. Because if you have a dead carcass from a nevela, any old terrestrial animal, like a dead horse or a cow or a pig or a sheep, doesn't matter. So the carcass conveys tuma, but just the flesh part of it, not the bone. And same goes with shiratzim. Shiratzim are creepy crawlies, whatever it is, small creatures. The point is a dead rat or mole or whatever it is. Those things, again, it's the flesh which conveys tuma, but not the bone. Mush and kin batzamos, their bones don't convey tuma. So you see that it's flesh is more potent than bones when it comes, you know, to, in general. Davar acher, I'll give you a second reason why, says Rabbi Eliezer, that the flesh is more potent than bone. Because, let me say this outside first, the limb, the aver that comes off menachai, it has to have the entire bone intact. It doesn't have need to have all of the flesh. If a bit of flesh is missing, a bit of basar is missing, as long as it could grow back and heal if it were attached to the person still, it's still an aver menachai. So you see that you need 100%, 100.0% of bone. If you have 99% of bone of the limb, it's tahor. Whereas if you have only 90% of the flesh, it's still going to be tummy. So you see that the flesh is more potent in terms of a source of tumah than the bone. That's the idea. The words inside say, davar acher, a second reason why I'm saying the flesh from the amputated limb is tummy, whereas the bone is not. Eiver shiyesh alav basar karoi. As long as the limb has enough of the flesh, even if it's not 100%, mitameh b'magav masav oel. It makes the whole limb tameh, not just by maga and masa, direct contact and bearing its weight, but even by ohel, being the same room as it conveying tumah by ohel. Chaser habasar, tameh. Even if some flesh is missing, it's still tameh. But chaser etzim, even if you're missing the tiniest bit of the bone, if it doesn't have a complete bone, then it's not considered an aver and it's tahor. Okay, so that's his two reasons why. Now we're going to turn our attention back to Rabbi Nechonya and say, why do you say, yes, the bone is tameh, but not the flesh? Amru lo Rabbi Nechunya, Maritza lachlok midosecha. Oh, tame bishneim, oh, tar bishneim. Why are you differentiating between bone and flesh? Either make them both tame if they come from an amputated limb, or both tahor. So he's going to give three reasons why. First of all, Amr lahem, maruba tumas atzam, excuse me, tumas ha'atzamos metumas habasar. First of all, you can see that the reason why that bones are sort of more potent than flesh is because shehabasar haporish min achai tahor, ve'evra porish mimenu, v'hu kabriyaso tame. Let me explain this outside first, and I'll say it inside. The limb that is the Evra Menachai, that source of Tumah, is because what makes it a limb is that it has a bone inside of it. In other words, if you separate a flesh, cut a steak off, you know, a person's entire buttocks off, or a person, remove a person's entire tongue or kidneys or something, so that all that flesh isn't a source of Tumah. But even a tiny baby toe, if it has a bone inside of it, now it's an aver and conveys tumah. So you see, it's the bone that's essential, not the flesh. Inside the words say, shehabasar haporish min achai tahor. If you separate flesh from a person while they're alive, you amputate out their kidneys. Kidneys are massive, but still it's tahor. Ve'aver haporish hemenu v'hik briyaso. But if you separate off, you amputate off a little tiny limb, like a pinky, even though it's tiny, if it's intact still, then as it was created, then tame, then it's a source of tumah. So you see, it's the bone which makes it, not the flesh. That's the first reason why bone is more than flesh. Second of all, v'davar acher, a second reason he gives. So here we're going to say essentially that when it comes to the shiurim, so if you have a shiur of flesh, that's a kazayas, so it conveys tumah. If you have 99% of the shiur, then it's totally tahor. Whereas the shiur for bones is one of the shiurim is rove, the majority of the bones, called 125 bones. That's 125 bones from a skeleton, conveys tumah. So if you're lacking the shear, meaning you have that conveys even by ohel, maga, masa, and ohel. If you're missing, you know, down to 124 bones, so now, even though it doesn't convey tumah by ohel anymore, it still does convey tumah by maga and masa, because even an etzim kasori, even a tiny bone fragment, conveys tumah by maga and masa. So you see that even though you're missing the shear of the bones to convey ohel, it still is conveys some tumah. So you see bones like hang on longer because like they're more tame, more potent source of tumah, if you will, than flesh. That's the idea. So again, the words inside say, the varacher, kazayas basar metame b'magav masav ohel. If you have the shear of a kazayas, an olive's amount of flesh, so it conveys tumah in all the normal ways, direct contact maga, bearing its weight masa, or being under the same roof, ohel. Verovat samos, also, if you have a majority of a skeleton, call it 125 bones, it also metam b'magav masav ohel. It conveys in all the ways. But chaser habasar, if you're even a teeny bit beneath the threshold of tumah for the flesh, tahor, it's totally tahor. Chaser rovat samos, but if you're missing some of the threshold of the requisite number of bones, 124, let's say, afal pisha tahor militame b'ohel, yes, it can't convey tumah by ohel. But metama b'magav masa, it does convey tumah by direct contact or by bearing its weight. So you see there's like the bones hang longer because they're more potent towards tumah, so to speak. Okay, now the third reason, davar acher, this is the thought, which is there's something magical about bones, that if you had the majority of a skeleton, either rov binyan or rov minyan, whatever that means, but call it majority of a skeleton, doesn't matter how small the skeleton is. Like if you have a person miscarries a baby that's, you know, like a fetus, and the little thing that comes out is super tiny, right? It's like teeny tiny. So even if all the flesh on that aborted tiny thing doesn't add up to kazayas, but if it has a skeleton in there, so then the tiny bones will be a source of tumah regardless of the shear. So the point is that bones are powerful, that they convey tumah regardless of shear, if you will, if they're just, you know, the fact that they're there as the majority of a skeleton. So that's something unique to bones that doesn't exist by flesh. Inside it says, davar acher, kol basar hameish shehu pachos mekazayas tahor. Even if you have an entire corpse, I'll call it, but if the actual corpse is tiny, that doesn't end up to a kazayas, it's still tahor. But rov bevinyano, rov minyano, if you have the majority of the height of a person, like the, you know, the thighs and the spine or whatever, if you're missing a couple, you know, one thigh bone or what, it doesn't matter, still, it's still a source of tumah, regardless of its size. Or rov minyano, the majority of the number, meaning 125 bones, regardless of how much their volume is, of a mace, shall a mace, afal pi she'ein behem rova, even if in total, they don't reach the volume for bone to convey tumah in terms of just like raw bone fragments collected together is a rova, meaning a rova of a kav. So the point is, even if you're, which is like 500 cc roughly. So the point is, if you're lacking your rova hakav, but you still have the majority of a skeleton, regardless of its size, no matter how tiny it is, it still conveys tumah. Whereas when it comes to flesh, if you don't have the minimum amount of a kazayas, it doesn't convey tumah at all, even if it's like a whole dead corpse, if you will. Okay, the flesh of a corpse. Teeny tiny corpse. So therefore, you see again that there's something like extra potent about bones that doesn't apply to flesh. So that's that. So now those are the three reasons why Rabbi Nechunya says bone more than flesh. Now we're going to go to Rabbi Yehoshua, who we haven't really picked on yet. Rabbi Yehoshua is the one who said, neither bones nor flesh separated from an amputated limb are a source of tumah. In other words, to put it a different way, he says there's something called Aver Menachai. That's a source of tumah, but it has to be the aver menachai. Now, once it loses the status of being an aver, it's not a limb, because it's missing the requisite amount of bone or flesh. What's been separated off is nothing at all. And it's not at all really analogous to, it's not compared to a corpse. It's something else called aver menachai. So he says inside, Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, ma ra'isa l'taher b'shneim. Why did you see fit to say both bone and flesh separated from an aver menachai, amputated limb, is tahor? Amar lehem, Rabbi Yeshua said to them, lo. Because the whole thing is, it's not a proper equation to equate Aver Menachai to a corpse. Ima Martin b'meis. Look, when it comes to a whole corpse, it has all sorts of unique sources of tumah. Yesh bo rov, varova, varakov. There's these rules. If you have rov of a corpse, or a rov of a corpse's bones, or rakov, the decayed remains, pure decayed remains of, like, if you lie like a person without any clothes on, like a, you know, a marble slab, and leave it there like for 1,000 years, what remains, that stuff, that's a source of tumah, even by ohel, right? But that has nothing to do, tomro b'chai, she'en bo rova rova v'rakav. If you're talking about a aver menachai, an amputated limb, there's no such thing as having like rove of the amputated bone or the limb, or a rova of the limb, or the rakav of the limb. No, none of that applies to be a source of tumah. So you see that there's something unique to corpses which doesn't apply at all to amputated limbs, aver menachai, and therefore he says, listen, an entire limb, an entire aver, all the bone, the connective tissue, and essentially all the flesh, minus perhaps a little bit that would recover, and if it was still attached, that's something to itself called aver menachai, but anything that's less than that, missing bone or missing flesh, separated from, is totally tahor altogether. And the halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua, this third opinion, that aver menachai is tameh, a whole limb from a person, but anything less than that or something removed from the aver is tahor altogether.